Monday, August 15th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with pastor-teacher Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to take you to an article out of liveaction.org. Out of the state of Minnesota, they recently released their annual report on abortions that took place in the state in the year 2021. The report reveals that 5 babies were born alive after abortions. All were denied medical care, even though this is illegal in Minnesota. All of them died. Let me read to you a portion of the Minnesota Born Alive Infants Protection Act that was passed back in 2015. It states, when an abortion is performed after the 20th week of pregnancy, a physician, other than the physician performing the abortion, shall be immediately accessible to take all reasonable measures consistent with good medical practice to preserve the life and health of any born alive infant that is a result of the abortion.
We have the culture of insanity that then leads to activities in the culture of absurdity. And then we have a culture of immorality that is attempting to normalize sexual promiscuity, sexual perversion, which always leads to consequences. Thus, we now have a culture of insanity, absurdity, immorality, and the fourth one is lethality, because you got to cover your tracks. You can deny creation science, which is science that is affirming of the creation realities. You can deny it, but when you deny it, you're going to get the consequences of denial. The sexual promiscuity and perversion leads to something called a pregnancy. Well, then we have now affirmed in the culture the lethality that any child that is unwanted, imperfect, or inconvenient, we will provide you with a cultural death warrant, and we will attempt to legalize it in our jurisprudence, and thus Roe v. Wade, and thus the death of 60-plus million children through elective abortions. Well, some sanity remained in this by saying, well, if the abortion fails, because in late-term abortions, there's every possibility that the child, in fighting for its life, is going to overcome the doctor's attempt to surgically or chemically to kill it with the tools of abortion and abortion techniques. And that's what happens. And now we hear this story documented out of Minnesota. These 5 children that were born alive, thus overcoming the attempt to kill them in the womb. Now, what happened? Well, the medical personnel in the hospital, and what is amazing, one of these hospitals that we're examining is called Christ Hospital. And in it was documented that these children are born alive, and thus they thwarted the attempt to kill them in the womb. So what happened? Now they became targets for death outside of the womb in this hospital, even though the state of Minnesota actually has a law, Tom, that says any child surviving an attempt for abortion is to receive life-nurturing care. All the medical personnel that are there are under law to give that child care. Is that what happened? No. What happened, the child was, quote, comforted while they allowed them to die. So there was a passive act of the murder of this child. And I do not use that term lightly. This is infanticide. We have often said that the culture of death initiated and normalized in abortion will first of all move from the beginning of life to the end of life, and passive euthanasia will be replaced by active euthanasia upon those who are unwanted, imperfect, and non-productive at the end of life, just like those who are unwanted, imperfect, or inconvenient at the beginning of life. And so now this child joined the rank of the deplorable, because these 5 children joined the ranks of the deplorable because they are now alive, they are now outside of the womb, and so what did they do? They took the steps to make sure that the child died. Of course, they trumpeted the fact that, oh, but we have made improvements for these moments for allowing the process of death to continue. What death? You initiated this death. This is infanticide. By definition, is infanticide. Now, used to in this hospital, we were told that they would take the child down to the utility room and set it over there until it dies. Well, now they have created a separate room they call the comfort room. Our ability at euphemisms to cover sin and evil is phenomenal. So we call it a comfort room. Now, what comfort do they get? They wrap them in a blanket and set them in that room instead of the utility room. And so now we see outright infanticide. Can you notice from a Christian world and life view that you cannot escape the reality of our consciences that know what we're doing is wrong? Notice that they did have a limitation. We're not going to treat them as a piece of trash to be put in the utility room. Okay, we'll create a room of death. We'll call it a comfort room. We're going to wrap this child in a blanket and then let it die by ignoring its needs instead of fulfilling the law, which tells us we ought to save the life and all the means necessary to do that are right there in the hospital. Why do they comfort it? In time, we were talking about this, and I thought your analysis was right on target. We're going to tell these people, don't worry, this is not a person yet, because it's a pregnancy, and you can consider it as a mass of fetal tissue in the womb that we are extracting. Well, you know, we do other things. We extract appendix. I remember my gallbladder surgery, tonsillectomies. Well, nobody takes the gallbladder or the appendix or the tonsils and wrap it up and put it in a comfort room until it becomes room temperature. Nobody does that. Why? Because we know what that is. That's an organ that came from a body. But guess what they did? They wrapped up this quote-unquote fetal tissue because they know what it is. This is a person. I feel so deeply in my heart, even though the nurse in charge of this death squad at that moment, and by the way, it's amazing how the doctors hand this off as quickly as they can, then the nurse that is in charge of it began to defend it with, oh, we now have a comfort room, we wrapped them in a blanket. I say, why? Well, you know why, because this is a person. At least there is some limit to your conscience, and you're trying to assuage it by a blanket, wrapping them up. When reality, it's a life that you ought to be nurturing and you ought to be affirming. So, Tom, I rest my case. We are in a culture of insanity, absurdity, immorality, and lethality in order to cover the consequences of our rebellion against God. But there is a greater lethality, and that's this. God will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. We can put euphemisms, we can rationalize, we can attempt to normalize this death culture, but there's two things you know. In your conscience, you know it's wrong. And before the bar of God's justice, we will give an account for what was done that was wrong. Tom, the very first murder of the unwounded and inconvenient took place in a field when Cain rose up and killed Abel. And the Bible tells us that the blood of Abel cried out. And what did God do? He came down and he brought judgment. If the blood of one person cried out to the heavens and brings God down in judgment, what in the world does this barbaric act of infanticide of putting a child in the corner of a room until it breathes its last breath when that child could be saved? What will that bring down from God's judgment upon a nation? It is my opinion that judgment has already begun, and we are in need of national repentance. And the only way you get that is a movement of the gospel from faithful churches throughout the nation, preaching the whole counsel of God. And as sinful as our sin is, like this rebellion of insanity, absurdity, immorality, and lethality, rooted in profitability, as absurd as it is, there is a glorious God of grace who has made a way for repentance and forgiveness and transformation. And may once again life reign instead of death in our culture. And may it do so because Christ is proclaimed, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
There are a number of ways you can stay in touch with us here at Today in Perspective. The best way is by downloading the Briarwood app. It is available through your favorite app store. Simply type in Briarwood PCA. You'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will challenge and encourage your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.